Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topic.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Today's show, brand new sponsor, our friends at TickPick. Excellent, excellent app. Make sure you guys are getting on there. We got a new promo code. We'll talk to you about that a little bit further on in the show. But ultimately, this is an excellent, excellent sponsor for us. Me, personally, because I use it, and I hadn't heard of it before, and I love it. So you guys are going to be getting a great offer from these guys, too. So make sure you guys are staying tuned for that. In the meantime, we've got my friend Connor Rogers. Connor, all over the place, man. BR, Draft Network stuff. You're doing it all right now. How have you been?
I'm good, man. Keeping busy. Really enjoying this football season, covering both college on a bigger level this year and, of course, still the NFL. So it's been really good, and it'll be good to catch up today with you, dude.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming back to the show. Obviously enjoyed our past conversations. This week, Colts, Jets, week six, really a strange kind of, you know, aura, I guess you could say, around, if that even makes any sense whatsoever, around this game. A lot of injuries going on. Obviously, mainly the Colts are just well known now for having an injured team. And it seems like it's kind of bitten them again this year in some of the most difficult spots, obviously. Anthony Costanzo's been out most of the entire season. Matt Slauson, you know, goes down after a broken back, of all things, to where he still played in the second half last week. He's on IR now, and the list is just lengthy. And the Jets are kind of in the same situation. There are several of these guys that, you know, we don't really know about as Colts fans necessarily. I'm sure most of us keep track of it, but this is always good to hear it from you. Which one of these guys injures you? And if not one, the group, because there's a lengthy list of these guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, they played pretty well without Trumaine Johnson last week, but that was against Case Keenum. So I don't really put a ton of stock into that. They went out in free agency and gave Trumaine Johnson $15 million per year. And, you know, about 3 out of the 5 years on that deal are guaranteed. So they expect this guy to be a premier shutdown corner. And I think he's been pretty good. But, last week was the first game he's missed. They filled in okay without him. So they're going to have some questions at corner, especially against Andrew Luck, which really makes the T.Y. Hilton situation so interesting to me. Mm-hmm. If he's out again, which it's looking doubtful, then it kind of helps cancel these guys out. They're also missing their slot corner, Buster Skrine, who, you know, had a concussion. So at cornerback, the Jets are really banked up. They really haven't had a full unit all year because they just got Marcus May back recently, and now they're down two corners. So, but the big injury that I'm looking at that came out of nowhere is Isaiah Crowell right now. He did not practice yesterday, and he's coming off where he set the single-game franchise rushing record for the Jets against the Broncos with three gigantic runs. He's just been breaking tackles. I believe he leads the league in yards after contact right now. So you look at a signing the Jets made. They went out and gave him only a 3-year deal worth $12 million total, and only 2 of the years are guaranteed. He's been the best value signing they've made so far. If they're missing him in this game, a lot of pressure falls on Sam Darnold against this Colts defense, which is not going to be easy.
Right, and I was kind of wanting to get to that as well. I'm glad you brought it up. When you look at Darnold and his, you know, ultimately his rookie year, the way he's kind of been up and down. What are you seeing from him most consistently? And is there other factors you think that are playing into kind of his stair step type of season so far?
You nailed it. It's been so up and down. We've gotten so many different versions of Sam Darnold. I think the most promising thing against Denver was that he didn't look gun-shy. And right, after the loss against Jacksonville, when they were coming off a stretch where they lost to Miami, he played pretty well. They lost to Cleveland, he played very poorly. They lost to Jacksonville, he didn't stand a chance because the offensive line did not block anyone. But at the end of the day, he did not have a great game. He, after that game, said, listen, I got to start seeing things. I got to start being less hesitant. And he went out and proved that against Denver. He hit Robbie Anderson for 2 bombs over the and Robbie Anderson's been open the entire year. It's not anything on him. Darnold just has to get the ball to him. And for that to happen, the offensive line has to protect him to give him enough time, which they did against Denver, which is a big accomplishment against those edge rushers. So when Darnold has the time, he can pick you apart. He can make big throws. He moves very well. I think I've been most impressed with him evading the rush so far. But the biggest question is, will we see the gun-shy Sam Darnold that does not want to make a mistake and holds back this Jets offense, or will we get the version of Darnold that will heave the ball downfield and really lead the Jets to a victory rather than just hopping on for the ride?
And one of the more interesting things about this is that the Colts and Jets are 14 and 15th. Jets 14th, obviously. So I said that back. I was going to say respectively, but that wouldn't have been accurate. 14th and 15th in the league in scoring per game right now. I don't know that there's a whole lot of people that would have guessed that, especially when you look at kind of the Colts record and then you look at the way that the Jets have been up and down with their performances overall. That's kind of interesting, is it not? I mean, it just wasn't something I would have guessed that we would see.
It's very interesting. I think the most interesting thing when it comes to the Jets is their two wins, they blew out the Lions and the Broncos, which
that's right.
They're not awful teams. Mm. They're not the Bills that we've seen, or, you know, the Niners have been really banked up now. They're probably going to get blown out sometimes. Maybe the Cardinals, the Raiders' defense struggles. The Lions and the Broncos are not that kind of caliber team. The Lions just beat Green Bay. And when it comes down to it, that's what stands out to me with the Jets scoring. The defense can score. I think that's a big thing when you look at that. I mean, yes, Marcus May got tackled at the one last week, but this team can take away the ball and put it in the end zone. The Jets' special teams, Andre Roberts is another guy that's banged up. He's been the best punt returner in all of the NFL this year by a mile. He's been a serious X factor in all this. So it's not just the offense when you look at the Jets. The thing is with them, when they get ahead, they have the defense, when coached the right way, that can take away the ball, that can make you make mistakes because they can stay aggressive. They did not do that against Cleveland in a game they should have won when they were up by two touchdowns. I think they learned a lot from that. When they do get the lead, they can put the foot on the gas now, and that's probably why they're right in the middle of the league in scoring, even with a losing record.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa, they're 12th in the league in defensive yards per play allowed. That's important. That goes a long
Sorry.
Way. Look, the Colts are a team who we've seen that when, you know, their slants up front are accurate and timed right, and they've got a good solid scheme behind it, that they're decent against the run. They've also proved that they can be one of the leakiest run defenses in the league, and there's no deal about that because, I mean, it happens on screen passes. There are a lot of situations right now the Colts are giving up major chunks of yards. On the other hand, you've got a team in here that, you know, the Colts are going to be, like we've talked about, they're going to be losing T.Y. Hilton. Doyle's not going to play. I mean, they've got a lot of other guys in here that are really very, very questionable already. I mean, Marlon Mack has been practicing. It was good to see him and Kenny Moore and a couple other guys get full goes in yesterday. But just in general, Ryan Kelly, he's a big piece to that offense right now, especially with Matt Slauson gone. It may not seem like it, but when you add that and then Eric Ebron, and I mean, the list just seems to continue to grow. Andrew Luck proved last week against the Patriots, in my opinion, although I do feel like the Patriots put it in kind of like autopilot there for just a little bit. I do think that we saw that Andrew Luck is back to seeing the field really well, down to passing and getting, you know, being an efficient quarterback now. The more he's gotten a little more aggressive, I think has really kind of helped his game, to be quite honest with you. Of course, they don't want him passing that much, but it's still showing that his game can improve the more he's involved in every single aspect of the game. How does that match up against this New York Jets defense?
Well, I think it's very interesting because you go back to health, and we've seen the Colts now have pretty solid scoring performances against good teams. I mean, yes, they put up 24 against New England, you know, 34 against the Texans. I think the one that stands out to me is the Bengals. I think that Bengals defense is very good, and the same with Washington. They're still putting up points. They're finding ways to get it done. Where the Jets matchup becomes so interesting is how is this Colts offensive line not only going to handle pressure, but diagnose pressure? The Jets' game plan is to not let you run the ball on them, to really set up third and longs where they can dial up exotic blitzes. That's what Todd Bowles does best. While Casey Rogers is dealing with some health issues right now, Bowles had to call the game last weekend. He's going to call the game again this weekend. For all the flack Todd Bowles takes, he is very, very good at calling a defense in-game, and I think that's helped the Jets. The Jets were very active in trying to acquire Khalil Mack because they understand that they have no edge pass rush presence. And to make up for that now, they're going to bring five, six guys on third downs, on passing downs. How is Andrew Luck going to handle that? Yes, he's a guy that can move very well and make a play, but at some point the offensive line and the protection really needs to step up and help you when the heat is on. So I think that's going to be the difference in this game.
Yeah, and it really is, because what we also saw last week is, I mean, look, the Patriots didn't send five guys a whole lot. They only sacked him once, but then the Colts line held up when they were going four on, you know, four up or just whatever the case may be. They're not handling, you know, impressive, unique and creative stunts from other defensive coordinators. The defensive coordinator, does he bring kind of that, is he a predictable play caller, do you think, or is it more along the lines of the fact that there's just that talent level there?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. I think when you go back to what Bowles did in Arizona, when he had the right personnel, he loved to play three safeties. He loves to blitz defensive backs, and he really likes stunts to get his defensive linemen opportunities. And he's starting to do that with Leonard Williams, who is a very good athlete considering his size. And we're seeing production. Leonard Williams is coming off a game where he had 2.5 sacks, and we haven't really seen that in his career. We saw Marcus May almost punch the ball out of Case Keenum. Bowles is a guy that can really dial it up and make things confusing for you. Now, I think Luck is a smart enough player where he can handle that. So that's why I say this is such a key matchup here. And it goes all the way back in trickle effect to the Buster Screen and Tremaine Johnson injuries. Mm-hmm. If you know that pressure is coming, the secondary needs to hold up. Can these reserve corners hold up? That's really the underlying factor in all of this.
Interesting. So if you're going about attacking this Colts defense with Sam Darnold, throw us a little bit of that. What are you seeing specifically from him, and not only him, but the supporting cast that he's going to have available to him? What can they conceivably do?
Well, I think when you look at it, you got to get Neil Sterling did practice yesterday. That's his go-to tight end target. And, mm-hmm. and when you look at Sterling, he's the guy that can really eat up the underneath. Now, he's not a player talked about a lot, but in the summer, this was his underneath player. That can open things up over the top. Quincy Enunwa has filled that underneath role really well, whether it's screens, drags, you know, comeback routes, because he's so good after the catch. The Jets, oddly enough, for the first time in a while, are a team that's going to live and die with the big play. Yes, all that underneath stuff for a rookie quarterback is great, but it only gets you so far. They have one of the best big play wide receivers in the NFL in Robbie Anderson, who he has a long list of defensive backs he has beaten over the last 2 years. You got to get him the football. And I know the Colts, they have added a lot of talent over the years. You know, being so close to the draft as I am, I have liked a lot of their picks. And I think you saw some instant results from Darius Leonard. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at, you know, Kamoko Ture, in college, there wasn't questions about talent with him. It was about health. So that's why you're probably seeing some instant production there. When it comes down to it, the Jets have to, they receivers have to beat these corners. It's as simple as that. It's a matchup that they should win if the offensive line can hold up. And the Colts are going to force Sam Darnold to make the throws. He's had games where he has not made those throws. Last week he had a game where he made all of those throws. Mm-hmm. So it's really an interesting factor of what Sam Darnold we're going to see.
Right. And, you know, the Colts did just sign Mike Mitchell. And I think that they realized that they had to do that with both Farley and Gethers out. But when you look, I think one of the most important, honestly, now, and it wasn't noticed a lot because there weren't a lot of targets for Gronk last week in the first half of the game when Kenny Moore got hurt. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago when Kenny Moore was hurt, it was DeAndre Hopkins that he was covering. And he looked really good. He was mirroring him really well, was in his hip pocket. It was effective. I think he's one of the, honestly, and I wouldn't have said this at the beginning of the year, but I think he's one of the most important pieces that the Colts need back and need back healthy, as well as Nate Hairston, because they are depleted in this secondary. I think they can cause enough. I think you and I were the only two, aside from Jake Arthur, who liked Darius Leonard for the Colts, to be quite honest with you. There are a lot of surprised people about that. So this defense has a little bit that they can do. And they've proven that they can get to the quarterback with design, not by, you know, one specific pass rusher. And they've proven that they can make some plays on the back end. So all in all, we're looking at these two teams, and it seems like there's a lot of similarities, not only the injury, but on the other ends of talent as well. So where do you see this game going? It's in New York. There's a, you know, it's a crazy fan base, as you know. and the Colts coming in, you know, depleted, cold weather a little bit, you know, colder than what they've played in this year or so far, but it still should be pretty comfortable, I suppose. But it's still a change. Where do you see this game going, Connor?
Well, I think under the circumstances, this is a game the Jets should win. And I think a lot of that is, one, being at home. Two, I think when you talk about the overall 53-man roster, not quarterback, because you can't compare Darnold and Andrew Luck right now, but the overall 53-man roster, Mike Maccagnan's been with the Jets longer than Chris Ballard has been with the Colts. Both inherited very, very poor units on paper that they've done a really good job over the years turning over. McCagnan more time, so of course he's a little ahead, I think, when it comes down to it. Now, coaching, I think the Colts are a much, much better prepared and coached team. So I do think the Jets should win this game. I do think they will win this game when all is said and done, but I do not think it's going to be a blowout that we saw them do to Detroit, that we saw them do to Denver. I think this will be the first Jets win where it really comes down to the end of the fourth quarter. Because these teams are kind of similar in similar spots when you look at it. I mean, I think the Colts actually have been overachieving with their roster. And, you know, they had a really tough first draft where you look at a guy like Quincy Wilson, not on the field. They've had to cut their third and fourth round pick in that draft. But they're getting instant impact from this year's class, which looks like a very good draft, which is going to keep them in every single game. So I think the Jets win by a field goal or maybe two field goals, but it's going to be really tight.
I think I'm on board with that. The Colts just haven't bode well when they go to New York and play there. It seems even when they had Tebow, for God's sakes, they, you know, they pretty much ruined the Colts that game. It was just disgusting. So he is Connor Rogers of Bleacher Report. He's a host of Stick to Football as well and also on the Draft Network. Connor, thank you so much for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. Always a good time.
Hey, Colts fans, it's Matt Dainley from the Colts Cast. Have we got a great deal for you? Let me tell you about TickPick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do. And if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are absolutely no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, you find the seats you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. You save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for our listeners, they're offering you an amazing offer of $20 off of every order over $49 between now and November 15th. All you have to do is enter Stampede20 as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer either. They went all in for you guys. Not only do I use TickPick, but I approached them and wanted to get the word out about this company because it was so stinking easy. And nobody likes to find the seats they want, then get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $40 in fees being added. I'll never use another ticket app again. It's very user-friendly, and you get the same great tickets with lightning-quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick, and use the gift code STAMPEDE20 to save yourself $20 on any order of $49 or more. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this crazy offer today. 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees. Remember, that's TickPick. Get the app today. All right, guys, welcome back to the second half of the show. I'd like to thank Connor for dropping by. Always a good time talking to him. Always full of great information as well. I went back and watched, like similar we do that the way I did it last week. We're going to continue to do that because it's informative not only for me, but I feel like you guys get a little bit of an eyeball in on what these other teams are doing. It doesn't always transfer to the next week, but we did see with the Patriots, a lot of what we talked about on that show prior to that game was basically what they tried to do. It doesn't always work out that way. But this is something that we could probably expect a little bit to kind of transfer in between weeks. First and foremost, their defense is stout and physical. And we'll talk about the offense, too, with Sam Darnold and kind of what they like to do. Let's go to the defense first, because honestly, with the Colts, the way that they're, they're missing Doyle, they're missing Hilton, they've got some other nicks and stuff. They're going to have Braden Smith probably starting at right guard now. With Slauson being out, there's a lot that the Colts are going to be seeing. And they're, like I said, they're going to be seeing a really physical team up front. This is not a team that is going to kind of be like the Patriots were last week. They're not a team that is, they're not space fillers, really. This is a very aggressive front four, and they like to bring the pressure, and they like to hit, and they're scary to a point. I mean, they're bringing four no matter what, almost all the time. You would think that that sounds pretty standard, but it really, I don't know that it is. They may not be bringing all four of their pass rushers that they, you know, their best four pass rushers up front each time, but they are cracking at the line of scrimmage, and they are trying to get into the backfield and disrupt a lot of what we see with the Colts and kind of their style. The one thing I did not notice with them is not a lot of slanting. A lot of teams that use four-man fronts will tend to slant a little bit one way or the other. The Colts do it a little bit more drastically, I think, trying to use that speed to cut off the running lanes and such. I didn't see that a whole lot in their game from last week, you know, against the Broncos. Maybe that was more of a game plan type thing, but I just did not see it much from them. But they're bringing four regardless. They're not dropping one of those guys into coverage. They like to bring some extra edge pressure with the safeties and corners as well, and those guys are physical too. I mean, they will crack down on these to try to bust the – I mean, they're basically chipping sometimes. You know how offensive linemen and tight ends or wide receivers will come in and chip on a defensive end who's pretty much their rush end. These guys are doing that to the opposite side of ball. It's crazy. They're bringing these guys in to chip and knock them over to like a quick smack double and then try to get after the quarterback. And they're going hard. They're bringing four and five, and they're bringing an extra guy. Okay, I mean, I wouldn't even say occasionally. It seems like more often than not. This is a really physical bunch. At least on tape and at least trying to review kind of what a team has done the previous week, I don't know that the Colts have really seen this. They've either got the right mindset this past week, or this is just the way they're built. And it kind of falls in line with, you know, exactly what you would guess. I mean, even from the Rex Ryan days, what you would think about a New York Jets defense. Not style, not scheme, but the way that they approach the game. Very physical, very man. They're going to manhandle you if they can at all possible. And it just is a really kind of, it would surprise me. I will say that because I wasn't expecting that kind of a defense. But they have some numbers that we talked about in the first half of the show with Connor for a reason. So let's talk a little bit more about them. They are vulnerable a little bit against the run. The tight ends and wide receivers, they'll down block, like I mentioned. It'll help the running game become effective for the Colts if they were to use that. They don't really respond on that. They're a physical bunch out there, but if you can get them sucked in and you can get them kind of at the point of attack, you've got some running lanes. That this is one thing that I think that I saw more than anything. There wasn't a lot there because they are such a swarm team on the back end. But they're going to be, there's some vulnerability there, especially on the outside. Cause they're kind of, it's a weird, cause it's a four man front, kind of a space eater, kind of a get in the backfield, try to form or try to take the running back out off his line. It's a little different, at least for me. Cause you know, it's been a long time since we've seen four man fronts from the Colts, until this year. So seeing this and seeing this is a different type of variation than you would expect to see from the Colts and their Tampa 2 style and how they act up front. It's a little different, but interesting and physical and pretty effective nonetheless. But there are some spaces for success against this front. They're powerful. They're not as quick as the Colts defensive line, so it's not a speed built unit up front, I don't think. At least they don't look that way. But they're just so active up front. It almost makes them look faster than they actually are. They're not that space, that speed group, though. Not like the Colts D-line. It's a different look. Roberts, their corner, number 27, he's a good, quick reactor to the run game, physical, and this is what you're going to see a lot in these guys, whether it's the safeties in May or Adams or whoever it is that they bring up. They're bringing them up for a reason, and it's because they are trying to attack that ball, and they do it pretty well, and they're effective. They will absolutely take guys out in order just to allow the guy behind them to get in on the tackle. It's kind of an interesting approach. They also are pretty vulnerable. And I don't want to say pretty, but they are definitely vulnerable against the play action, especially at the second level of the defense. What you see a lot is even the slightest bit of play action, and that entire group is sucked in. That's something that the Colts are going to have to use this week. I would expect the Colts to use, just from what I saw, a lot of play action, because not only is it the guys, the linebackers, it's everybody. They are all biting, and that's one of the things I think that is going to get them in trouble as they go on. Definitely a thing that the Colts will want to use against them just to kind of see how they're reacting in this game. Maybe that's not something that they typically do. Maybe it was a bad game in that respect. But ultimately, that didn't bite them in the butt too often. The Colts have to find a way to get Andrew Luck some opportunities out of play action to try to get the ball downfield. And if they can get some one-on-one opportunities and they can get some of these receivers that basically nobody knows outside of Indianapolis, then they're going to be able to get some progress and some positivity out of these guys. Like I said, they'll bring 5 and 6 guys with some regularity. They like to stunt and twist, not a ton, but they do it and it's effective. Extremely physical throughout the unit. And like I said, at times, this New York Jets, I mean, you would almost expect the physicality and the strength from this group that just reminds you of the old Rex Ryan days and how they approached it. And even the groups in Baltimore as well. So definitely not a whole lot of scheme that you can pick up on, but you do see them rotate on the back end occasionally. You'll see their linebackers in multiple line, packages and setups. I think these guys are a pretty smart group. I mean, they've got, a lot of guys up here that are really intelligent about how they're approaching the game. They're either, the kind of the patsy or whatever, they're going up just to take people out and hope that somebody else behind them is going to make the tackle, or they are just, causing absolute chaos in the backfield. And you see that a lot, especially last week when you saw Case Keenum. Man, it only took them a few times to get Case Keenum to looking like, the most generic wannabe form Aaron Rodgers, where he couldn't step into a throw. He wasn't doing anything. He was just kind of twisting his hips and flinging the ball, and his accuracy showed it. He was awful, at least what I saw. He's terrible. So you hope that something like that, you hope that it's not a concern going into this game, at least during the game. You don't want to see the running backs, you don't want to see the tight ends, and you don't want to see the tackles giving up this edge pressure and just getting, Andrew Luck not only hit all the time, but getting him off his spot, even though he's been pretty good at being off his spot this year. So a lot to look forward to. You're going to see a lot of looks from this New York Jets defense. I don't know that the Colts have the manpower right now to kind of deal with it, but they're going to be able to, kind of like they've done, they're going to allow some hits, but they're also going to be able to, get some plays off. And this is, these plays have to be some good plays, because if you let this team thrive, they're going to beat you down. And this is a very interesting New York Jets team. As Connor and I were talking about in the first half of the show, there are some similarities that you'll see with this group. A lot of the way that they approach the game. But there's also some great schematic differences in here, especially defensively, that you'll notice as well. So let's climb over to the offense. Really, this was a hard game to scout outside of just the obvious tones, because they were so good in the running game and they were so good with getting some of their playmakers the ball that you kind of really saw that they were kind of able to not go into cruise control, but they were definitely able to do whatever they wanted in this game and not really have a problem, because they had some leads and it looked like they were in control most of the game. The score gets different, as it goes on. But I mean, up front, you know how you feel when that team is just kind of taking control, regardless of what the scoreboard says, and it feels like simple for them. That's how I felt with these guys. It really felt like these guys had control of it. And, Denver's defense did not get off. So let's talk about them a little bit more, the offense here. They like to get the ball out quickly. They seemed there was a lot of success for this running game against Denver, and it was some of it was created by Crowell himself. Defenders were getting into the backfield a little bit against this offensive line, against because they run a lot of tight formations. I'll tell you about that here in a second. But Crowell really, a lot of yards after contact. I think Connor mentioned that in the first half of the show. But more impressively, he was fantastic. Even Bilal Powell was pretty good once he was able to get a little bit of daylight.
That's something that the Colts have not had much success in offensively, running the ball. They're probably, you know, are they going to have Mac back this week? I don't know that. Jordan Wilkins, once there's some daylight, really looks kind of fun. It's hard to tell, but they've got enough to be able to get some positive yards and get some 10 plus yard runs on this team. I think they, if the Colts and offensively Frank Reich can scheme up some really good blocks to get them to the second level and hope that Mac and whoever else is in the backfield can get some good push out of the second level and try to get past them, then they could be in some good shape. It's really hard to tell with the Colts running game right now, but all in all, this looks like a game where the Colts could succeed if they can get a nice zip through that first level of the Jets defense. They did at times have adequate protection for Darnold, though I feel as if their play action is fairly easy to read. Their line pops back quite quickly on play action. It seemed pretty easy to pick out. Although they do, like I said, these tight formations, they do a lot of that, and it's almost like the old Carolina stuff with the max protect there, just without the running game from the quarterback, from Cam Newton or whatever. Just haven't noticed that with a lot of other teams, especially the play action angle here. It seemed like their offensive line was popping back quick. It seems like the linebackers for the Colts would be able to understand what's coming at them, what they're seeing. It could be nothing, but you know, we'll have to kind of pay attention to that. And it could have been just a handful of plays where I noticed it consecutively too. I mean, I'm just as vulnerable about that as anybody, but they like to use the tight bunch formations, as I mentioned before, close to the line of scrimmage. They'll use multiple wide receivers in there and try to use them both to block, but they'll use it in both the pass and the run game. Powell and Crowell, both effective in this. They'll block down, they'll pull a guy, and they'll block. They'll take those wide receivers outside, but they'll also use it in play action. They have a nice little setup here, I think, for Darnold. They're really trying to get him similar to what the Colts are trying to do with their offense and trying to get Luck going. They're doing these quick passes out of the backfield. They're doing some quick stuff downfield, or quick stuff close to the line of scrimmage, but they're also going to go downfield. They are going to use Robbie Anderson, and he can absolutely flat-out buzz. And he's going to be hard for the Colts cornerbacks to contain if they're not super fundamental in the way they do it. He burnt one of the corners from Denver, and this guy had about an 8 to 10-yard cushion when Robbie Anderson took off. It was insane, and he got ate up quick. And he beat him on that route by 10 yards as he caught the ball easy. So this guy will absolutely get down the field in a hurry. And this might be a game where they try to suck in some things like that and actually get Malik Hooker a little bit of you know, some action over there. The Colts are going to be, you know, possibly down two safeties, but more than likely at least one in Gethers. I mean, they need Nate Hairston. They need Kenny Moore. And they need Pierre Desir to really have good games in this, because Sam Darnold is as hot a quarterback when he gets hot as anybody who's in the first few years of their career. He's not a top level passer by any stretch, but he gets some confidence behind him, and he's going to hurt this team. The Colts are going to be in trouble if they allow him to kind of build up his confidence in any kind of a quick and short order. So, like I said, they'll pull multiple linemen even in some packages. It's kind of interesting to see them do that. They like the double tights look for some extra protection as well. They'll use a lead back in the back, an actual fullback, to kind of bust open holes and not just for misdirection or to leak out as a passing option. They do a lot of tight-knit stuff, but they spread the field really well with their routes and their design. So the Colts defense is going to have to be on their toes, and they're going to have to read their keys, because you've got so many of these assignments inside of a short area of the field. This is one of the things in the past that has really gotten to the Colts, is some stack formations, and I think most notably the Steelers were the ones that really kind of just tore up the Colts one year in it. This looks like something that the Jets are capable of doing if a team doesn't get in their pockets quick. So the Colts secondary is going to be absolutely, you know, I mean, you can't talk about how pertinent their secondary is going to be in this matchup. Additionally, coverage out of the linebackers is going to be necessary. The Colts are going to have to guess right on their slants, or they're going to have to be a little more reserved in how often they do it. So this is going to be a fun game, I think. I really do. Two teams, like we talked in the first half of the show, that kind of have some similarities. They have some high power possibilities, but at the same time, both teams are pretty injured. So it's going to be fun to watch. I'm pretty excited to watch this game. I think it's going to be one of the more interesting games of the year, honestly, for the Colts. If the Colts were a little healthier, I think that I could give them the win. I don't know that I can in this, but the Colts are as capable of beating anybody with Andrew Luck under center. So, I mean, we all know that. So just wanted to give you guys some notes that I saw off of their game. Through most of that game, it looked, like I said, they have a confidence that once they get it going, it's hard to stop. This is momentum to another level here, I guess you could say. They're not an elite team. They build on chemistry and they build on how they progress throughout the game. If the Colts can get after them quick and get them off their game on either side of the ball, the Colts have a really, really, really good chance of winning this game. If they don't, the Colts could be in for a long one, and it could be ugly. I'm not kidding. They have the power to do it. They have the ability to do it. They've got the back to do it. Depending on if he's back, what Crowell can actually do with him on the injury report. Can Bilal Powell do it? I mean, they've got some other guys in there that they like to use. But the Colts, they're in for a treat if they don't get after these guys quick. So, guys, we will talk to you again. Probably not this week. We're going to have, something to cover the game afterwards. So make sure you guys are coming back for that. Make sure you guys are going and listening to Horseshoes with Stephen Holder. That's a great one as well. He's doing an excellent job. And we've got some other stuff planned for you guys too. So stay tuned. Stay tuned to the channel. Subscribe if you haven't already. And as always, go to Stampede Blue for all your Indianapolis Colts news and analysis. We'll talk to you guys all next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.